said Abraham to the Lord in Genesis 18:25, "Far be it from you to do such a thing, to kill the righteous and the wicked alike. Far be it from you. Will not the judge of all the earth do right?" And this as they overlook Sodom and Gomorrah. He is trustworthy. Moses, as he spoke to the whole assembly of Israel just before his death, in Deuteronomy 32:3-4, "I will proclaim the name of the Lord. O praise the greatness of our God. He is the rock, his works are perfect, and all his ways are just. A faithful God who does no wrong, upright and just is he. He is just." And Paul, in writing to the church at Philippi, Philippians 1:6, "Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. He is faithful." And on the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together, with the door locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came, and he stood among them, and he said, "Peace be with you." John 20:19. Trustworthy, just, faithful. We have heard the stories of the ancients as they speak of the peace in God. You cannot know peace if you do not believe. Believe that God is just and all that he does, that he is faithful to his covenant and his promises, and that he is trustworthy in that he will say what he will do and he does what he says. But there is also in that equation of finding peace in God and with God a call to remembrance. As Solomon writes in Ecclesiastes 1:9-10, "What has been will be again. What has been done will be done again. There's nothing new under the sun. Is there anything of which one can say, 'Look, there is something new'? It was here already long ago. It was here before our time." There is nothing new under the sun. Materials are found to have different uses. A different breed of dog is brought about by mixing other breeds, but they're still dogs, no matter their features. And what is formed differently today is still of old. We dress differently today than we did 25, 50, or 100 years ago, for sure. But what is beneath that different clothing has not changed. And there beats the same heart driven by the same sinful nature. Man's heart has not changed. And as the conflict that covers the world is in a gentle mist in being barely noticeable, it keeps the dust from settling down and it continues to fall from one generation to the next, unnoticed. Why is that? Well, the reasons are as numerous as the stars, one would say, but under it all are the distractions of the deceiver, the need for more by the heart of men, and in all of that, we can return to the garden and hear the serpent hiss, "Did God really say that?" stirring up doubt and rebellion in hearts. But Jesus will appear to the disciples. Even though they yet have fear of the Jewish leaders and teachers of the law, and for this reason they remain hidden behind locked doors in the room that they've gathered in, and suddenly there he stands among them. And what did he do first but remind them of his words, "Peace be with you"? Jesus had given new meaning to this greeting when, before his crucifixion in John 14:1-3, he had offered comfort to his disciples with his words, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God, and trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms, and if it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you may also be where I am. Peace be with you. Do not let your hearts be troubled. I want you to be with me where I am, and until that day, I will be with you where you are. The promise to never leave nor forsake you. Trustworthy is his name, and peace he gives. He is trustworthy." And again Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." John 20:21-22. Jesus reminded them again of his words, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me." But he now reminds them that his coming was with purpose, as he says to them, "As the Father has sent me, I am now sending you." And they would be reminded of his words on the night when they sat together and he asked them, "Who do you say I am?" "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God," Peter would reply to him in Matthew 16:16. And after giving comfort to them, he now gives a renewed purpose to their lives. "As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." Who's sending them? The Christ, the Son of the living God. They have seen his hand at work through his teachings and the miracles he has performed. And he stands here amongst them. He is the promised one, and he is the Son of God. Here, the flesh is the faithfulness of God. In the flesh is the faithfulness of God sent to deliver his people in the fulfillment of his word. These men would commit in the power of the Holy Spirit to spreading the good news, and it would be to the soul with eyes to see and the ears to hear that it would be made known this offering of forgiveness of sins, because Messiah had come. God is faithful to his word and his promises. He is faithful. And in John 20:26-28, a week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them, and he said, "Peace be with you." And then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." And Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus would then go on to tell Thomas that because he has seen, he has believed, but blessed are those who have not yet seen and have yet believed. Why is this important to understanding Jesus' saying, "Peace be with you"? Well, Jesus knew he would only be with them a short time, and comforting their hearts, strengthening their resolve, and the understanding of the calling that has been made to them, he wants them to know that the world they are about to go into will be hostile towards them. It will reject them, persecute them, just as it is done to him. He wanted to remind them that they were given a time to physically walk with the Son of God while on this earth, and yet, through what they were being called to do, there would be others who would come to believe also in Christ Jesus, even though he could not be physically seen by them, and yet they too would believe by the word. He had shown to them through his sacrifice made to reconcile men back to God, that so would they be called to sacrifice of themselves as they spread the news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news. And this word would be spread from mouth to mouth, from hand to hand, and fill heart to heart. All in hearing it would answer or deny the calling of the Spirit. There were, are, and will be those whose hearts are so hardened, who refuse to be healed, and will never see or hear, and will refuse the hand God has reached down for them. To them he will be just, and they shall be called to stand before him on judgment day, that promised by him also. But one people would rather not talk about it all. You see, he is just. Jesus had to remind the disciples to trust in him, to believe in him, to share him with others. He had to remind them of his words and the words of him written in the scripture. And when troubles try to overtake you, remember his words, "Peace be with you," and rebuke the devil, and he must flee. Call upon the name of Jesus and share with him your every care, every concern, and every burden. Let him cry with you, laugh with you, share your sorrow, and encourage you. And you will not find in conversation with anyone else such peace. It is only with him. You see, men can search the world over, but peace will never be found. For there will always be one, and more often than not, more than one, who will listen as the serpent says, "Did God really say that?" And then they will let him lead them down a dark alley that leads to nowhere, but instead is filled with hate and pride and greed, a place where enough is never found and peace cannot exist. Paul reminds us in Philippians 4:6-7, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, Present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and your minds in Christ Jesus. You see, to know Jesus is to know peace, and there is no other way available to a man. And without peace, everything is meaningless, as a chasing after the wind. Words of wisdom from King Solomon. And so let your heart be filled with peace. Let your mind and your body know rest. And give praise to the Father, to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. And may His peace fill your heart. Amen.